Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
The Clippers jumped out to a 21-point first-half lead yesterday against the Mavericks, only to see it slowly slip away. Dallas went on a 16-point run in the third quarter to take the lead, and LA had to fight back to force overtime. A Marcus Morris three-pointer gave the Clippers a one-point lead with under 10 seconds remaining, but Luka Doncic responded with a step-back three at the buzzer to take the win and even the series at two games each. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard with us now. Chris, good morning. What was the biggest reason the Clippers lost this one?
Wow. Well, look, I think Doc Rivers was correct at the end of after the game when he said his team was emotionally weak. They said they're not an emotionally weak team, but yesterday they were emotionally weak. One, I thought he was very correct on that. And two, I'm glad he called these guys out because I said last week, they're nonchalant. We can show up when we have to, turn it up when we have to. That type of attitude that I think they've had all year is catching up with them, and they need to get rid of it if they want to win a championship and probably even if they want to win this series, which I'm still confident they will. But the reason that they lost, you can point to the last play all you want. It wouldn't have even come down to a last play if Paul George had shown up. Playoff P was playoff Pee-wee. And that's the problem with the Clippers right now is that Paul George is not delivering. 9 points, 3-for-14 shooting. And not, I mean, for long stretches of the game, he was like looking like a role player, like he wasn't even on the floor. He's standing on the at the three-point line, waiting for somebody to pass him the ball, or he gets it and he gets rid of it quickly. And over the last three games, Paul George has averaged 11 points on 21% shooting, 16% shooting from three. I mean, it's his numbers are so bad, it's hard to believe that they're actually true. And it is reminding me of what he's obviously been worse than Anthony Davis, but it's similar to the Lakers situation with Anthony Davis. You know what the first guy is going to give you. I know Kawhi is going to play well. I know LeBron is going to play well. You know, he struggled game two, but they won easily. But what is the second guy? What is Anthony Davis or what is Paul George going to give me? Is the moment going to get to them? And that's the big question mark with both of these teams. And for the Clippers, for them to win the championship, and again, maybe even this series, Paul George has got to be better. So I was told actually yesterday, too, that Doc had words with Paul and wanted him to stay aggressive and, you know, shoot the ball. And Paul was like, well, I'm off. I'm not just going to keep missing. I think that had a part to do with Doc's comment about being emotionally weak. Like, if you don't have it going, you still have to play through it and try to score and do what you do. And so I think Paul George, this, as he even said, if I hit shots, we win the game. It's a different series, and he's absolutely right.
Okay, so I get all Paul George out there. So what you going to do about this, about the Mavs shooting 50% from the floor and 36% from the three-point line? When are they going to stop that soul train line that Luka and all those players have going to the basket? Who's going to do something about that? Because Paul George can't stop Luka, Kawhi can't stop Luka, Marcus Morris, Steph Curry is looking like Steph Curry, Trey Burke, Dorian Finney-Smith, Tim Hardaway Jr. can get to the rim at will against whomever is standing in front of them. So we can talk about Paul George, and he has not played well. But who's guarding anybody, Chris? I want to know, just tell me that. When is Kawhi going to...
I'm with you, and I love Luka. Like, I think Luka is the new Larry Bird, and maybe even could end up better than Larry Bird.
Stop it. You know, just stop it. It's such blasphemy. Just stop it. We're going to get struck by lightning. The new Larry Bird?
Oh, he's definitely the new Larry Bird. He's definitely the new Larry Bird.
During the regular season, Luka Doncic ranked 140th out of 147 NBA three-point shooters. He shot 31% for the whole regular season, and yesterday he shot three air balls from three. Don't start with Larry Bird, because this guy can't shoot a lick. This guy has missed the most free throws of anybody playing in the playoffs so far. Luka has missed the most. He's missed 13 free throws because during the year he was a little better than LeBron, but he's a 75% free throw shooter, and he wanted no part of that line at the end of that game because he's not very good from it. So, I'm going to address what Chris said first. Doc called them mentally weak. Well, they were mentally weak when, remember, they gave up in the middle of that game a 73-40 run. Think about that. They lost the middle of the game by 34 points to the Dallas Mavericks without Porzingis. That is horrendously bad. That is shamefully, you don't even belong in this series bad. And yet, to their credit, they did not quit. They scratched and clawed right back into the game. They took it up a level on defense for the last 3 minutes of regulation. Go back. I dare anybody. Go look at the play-by-play for the last 3 minutes, because the Dallas Mavericks wound up with two free throws and lost it down the stretch 10-2 to the Clippers. And it came down to Kawhi, ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. I've always told Shannon, I don't love him as a last shot taker and maker, but they have no creativity on offense. They don't go pick for him. He gets doubled every offensive possession, and he was getting sort of shadow doubled on this play, and he dribbles and dribbles like, I don't know what to do. Just attack. Try to get between the two defenders. Try to go up and shoot a mid-range jumper, which is your bread and butter. Instead, he lets the clock run down like, I don't know what to do, and he backs up and shoots a three, which is not his forte, and missed it to win the game. Now, let's get to the last shot, shall we? It's a million to one shot that that guy would make that shot. And remember, Chris, you can say, if playoff P hadn't been playoff, as you say, pee-wee, or I could put a couple of E's on the P and we can talk about that. But the point is, it did come to the last shot, and it was make it or break it. It was sink or swim. You're either going to be 2-2 or you're going to be down 3-1. The ball has to go through the hoop for you to be 2-2. That's the guy who shot 31% during the regular season. That's the guy who in the last 2 minutes of regulation and overtime with the game close during the regular season was 0-10 on those kind of shots. His team was 0-18 on those kind of shots. Dallas was the worst closing team in all of basketball. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, Kawhi, you did a good job on him down the stretch of regulation. You better take him as they're inbounding with 3.7 seconds left, because something's going to have to happen fast. And what did Kawhi Leonard do? He's face-to-face with him to start the play, and then, wait a second, here comes Kleba to pick. I hate it that the Clippers keep saying, we're too good to fight over picks. We switch everything because we have five interchangeable cogs. No, you don't. Playoff P is a basket case. He guards nobody anymore. He's lost it on both ends of the floor. I'm thinking, what is Reggie Jackson doing in the basketball game down the stretch and on the last play? He's 6'3" tall, and he guards nobody. He ranked 235th during the regular season in defensive win shares. And he's in the game, and you're willing to quickly switch him onto Luka? Why? Why wouldn't Kawhi say, for once, I'm going to fight over the pick? Because he could fight over that pick.
Sure, of course.
You got to fight. This is the game. The series is on the line. Kawhi's got to say, I got him. And we're not switching anymore. I'm coming. If Kleba comes or whoever comes for me, I'm fighting through, and I'm going to get up in his face, and the long arm of the claw is going to be on Luka. Instead, it winds up 6'3" Reggie Jackson, who never was accused of being a defender in the first place, guarding Luka, quote unquote. And Luka knows, oh, I can step back and shoot over the little man. And he did. And look what he found. He finally made one. Congratulations to you both.
Well, first of all, let me say this. This is a case, and I think Shannon might back me up. This is a case where numbers lie. Luka Doncic can shoot the basketball. Now, I know his shooting percentage isn't great from 3-point, but anyone that says he can't shoot isn't watching. The dude can shoot.
In the lane.
And he showed it last night. He showed it last night. He'll get better from three, but he's a legit shooter. His form and everything is fine. But I agree with you. Now, Doc Rivers said after the game, Skip, that the play called for, they wanted Reggie to switch, which I don't know why.
Why?
But he said they wanted Reggie to switch on to Luka and deny him. He said the plan was to deny him the basketball, which makes some sense if you deny him. But he didn't deny him because he's going to get the ball. He probably would have posted him at outside on the perimeter and thrown it on the, over the top.
Chris.
But that would have ate
Chris,
up a lot of
time. Time out. There's another guy Reggie's size. There's a guy named Landry Shamet who was in the game. He's 6'4 to Reggie's 6'3. Landry Shamet will get all up in you. He's got dog in him as a defender. Let him be the guy who's going to switch onto Luka because he will contest much harder than Reggie contested.
I'm not sure they weren't, like, I don't know if Dallas was targeting Reggie Jackson. Now, to your point, he shouldn't have been in the game. But Dallas may have been saying whoever Reggie is guarding, he's going to be the screener. But I also agree. I don't know why Doc wouldn't have said, Kawhi, fight
just,
over the
pick. Just go.
Because right. Luka waited out by almost near half court to get the pass.
He did.
So you had time to get to for Reggie to show on the pick, and Kawhi could have got out on him. So I'm with you. But Doc said they called for the switch. He was just supposed to deny him. So I could put that on Doc Rivers.
You know what? If there was 1 second on the clock, maybe. But 3.7 is a very long time because he gets an opportunity. He can dribble the ball, a couple of dribbles between his legs, create separation. But this notion that Landry Shamet is a much better defender than Reggie Jackson.
Oh, he is.
It's not true.
Oh, it's very true.
Because all they did the entire game was put him and Reggie Jackson in the pick and roll. They get him and right. with Luka. Listen, they have no answer for Luka. He did this on a bum ankle and minus Porzingis. Had Kane Fitzgerald, the official, not intervened in game one, we might be looking at 3-1, Chris Broussard, and you know this.
There is an answer for Luka. It's called double-team him, trap him at half-court, make him give up the basketball.
Chris.
But we're too good for that. We're too proud. We're too good on defense.
Chris, hold on, Chris. Chris, I want to know, what good is having the two best wing defenders if you got to double someone? It's like an
eight-year-old. That's what they're saying.
It's like having an 8-year-old with a trust fund. Mm. What good is that? He can't get the money until he's 21. If you got two great wing defenders, why the hell you got a double team?
Mm.
Look, the good bottom, question. They can't stay in front of Luka. And they can't stay in front of Trey Burke.
Or Tim Hardaway. Or Seth Curry.
Kawhi Leonard, while he played at times good defense on Luka,
he ain't the same.
He's not. Because he's never been called on except to score like he has the last 2 years. So in San Antonio, where he wasn't called on to be as much of an offensive player, he obviously was great defensively. Now, he's still okay defensively, but he's not what he was.
He took Luka and he took him out of the lane.
Well, Chris, go back and check the last three possessions of Luka. The last three possessions of overtime, go check, Chris. They got buckets. And last I checked,
Reggie Jackson
and Kawhi was on the court.
Mm. Well, wait a second. Somebody predicted this was going to go 7, and two other people I know said it would be over in 5. So what do you got now?
At this point, I just want to win.
Yeah.
Win the series. I don't care how many games.
Well, you brought up a good point, Chris, that Doc called them out. So we'll see how they respond moving forward.
No mercy.
How about we talk about LeBron, guys? He led the Lakers in multiple categories over the weekend on the way to an 8-point win and 2-1 series lead against the Blazers. LeBron had a game-high 38 points to go along with 12 rebounds and 8 assists in the win. Chris Broussard still with us. Chris, I start with you. How impressive was LeBron James?
Look, I know Skip's going to harp on the 5 missed free throws, the 8 turnovers, but LeBron was great. All right, I give him like an A minus. He had a great this game, even though the first game won when he had the 23-17-16, first time that's ever been done. That may have been more impressive statistically, but this was a far better game. And what I liked about it from LeBron, and you guys know I was saying this all last week, he was aggressive as a scorer. I thought he read the game much better. So instead of coming out and just getting everybody involved, even if they're not doing anything, he saw that Anthony Davis not giving me anything. All right, Anthony Davis, 6 points in the first half. So LeBron took over himself, 22 points in the first half. Finally, Anthony Davis wakes up in the second half and gives LeBron some help. And then LeBron closes the game out at the end with 7 points in the last 3 minutes. He had his 3 ball going. He was at the rim all night, which I love. He's got to stay at the rim. And he didn't get much help. You know, he got a little bit of help from the supporting cast outside of AD. But the bench, I think, hit 1 3-pointer as total. But because he was so aggressive offensively, they didn't need the bench to do as much. So I thought LeBron was great. This is just what the doctor ordered for them to close the Blazers out in short order.
Well, had AD made his free throws, I mean, the thing was is that he was getting fouled. If he had made his free throws in the first half, it would have looked a lot differently. He had 11 or 12 points instead of the 5 points. But the thing is that what we're seeing is that LeBron James and AD are getting the Blazers in foul trouble. Melo again had 5. Nurkic, 5. Trent Jr., 4. Whiteside, 3. And so because they can't stop LeBron from going to the basket without fouling him, now they're in foul trouble. And Nurkic, he can't. You're asking a man 7 foot tall, 300 pounds, that's just been back about 2 months to try to play 35, 40 minutes. That's impossible. Whiteside can't play the amount of minutes that they need them on the court. You got Dame that's been playing 42, 43, 44 minutes over the last 3 weeks, along with CJ. They had Melo out there for 43 minutes. I don't care. That's unsustainable. And if you look at down the stretch, a lot of Dame jumpers, they were hitting the front of the rim. Tells me his legs are getting weary playing the amount of minutes. But when you got LeBron being in aggressive mode like he was, says, I'm going to the basket. Gary Trent Jr., you're going to foul me. Melo, you're going to foul me, and you're going to put me on the free throw line. I agree with you. I would like to see him shoot a higher percentage, but that's okay. And AD, when AD leaves his dressing room, he needs to go back and look at the mirror and says, you know what? I'm a generational talent. I'm about to murk everybody that guards me, be it Melo, be it Nurkic, be it Whiteside, be it Gabriel. It does not matter. You can't see me tonight. AD got in the second half and said, you know what? Let me put this ball in the rack. Oh, you missed it. I get it. Dunk at home and one. Dunk on Nurkic and one. And then something happened on the way. That old mid-range. You know, he the master of the mid-range. Old mid-range AD. Started letting them have it, Skip. That's a thing of beauty, wasn't it, Skip? That was a thing of beauty, wasn't it, Skip? And LeBron hit that 3 and held it up there. It ran down court and shook his head, Chris. He said, no, it ain't your day today. It ain't your day today, Skip Bayless. It's not your day.
My turn. I am not impressed with one thing that LeBron James nor Anthony Davis do against the Portland Trail Blazers. I want everybody to notice what just happened over on the eastern side of the bracket. The Toronto Raptors just destroyed the Brooklyn Nets 4 straight games by an average of 21 points a game. That was the same Brooklyn team that took Portland to the wire, and Caris LeVert had a shot on C.J. McCollum to win the game. And fortunately for Portland, it didn't go in, because if it had gone in, they would have been out of the playoffs where they belonged. They came to the bubble 29-37. They are now 35-39. I predicted from day one this would be an easy sweep for the Lakers, and it should have been. It was shameful. LeBron had the basketball in his hands, 6 points up with 7 minutes to go in game one, and upchucked it. There's no reason for that. The Trailblazers have come as far as they can come, and they are basically dead in the water, because I keep waiting for this. I don't know what happened to Dame time. I keep hearing he's special. Special what? Special K for breakfast? I don't know, because LeBron just has this for breakfast. In the fourth quarter, I couldn't tell. He went 1 for 6 in the fourth quarter, did Damian Lillard, 0 for 4 from three, and one of them hit the backboard without touching the rim. I'm thinking, wait a second, where's Dame time? Where is this? Because I'm looking at the 3 fourth quarters against the Lakers so far, he's shooting 31% from 31% and a big 33% from three. I told you last year against Golden State, 4 straight fourth quarters with no KD. He shot 31% from the field and 29 from three. And I kept saying, well, this is your opportunity. Show me. Come, just bring it one night. Take over a game the way I've just watched Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray. They take over every game they play against each other. They're the real Damian Lillards. If you want Dame time, watch those two play.
Stop it.
Because that's some clutch distance shooting by those two young men.
Your expectations for them are just low. If you're going to sit here and say Jamal Murray is as good as Damian Lillard?
I am. I see it every night on the big stage, on the playoff stage. Chris, have you been watching those two kids?
Yes.
They're 1-2 in fourth quarter scoring. They're unbelievable from distance. They got mid-range. They can attack the rim. They got the whole package. And I keep waiting. Show me clutch, Damian Lillard. I just keep waiting for one time. Show me where you took over a game the way Donovan took over last night or Jamal took over in a previous game. They just take it home. All the way through overtime.
Jamal Murray isn't the focal point of that offense.
Boy, he is down the stretch.
The opponent's defense. Jokic is the focal point, and Jokic is the passer.
Chris, have you been watching these games?
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. These two kids are putting on shows where I'm just saying, that is extraordinary, both of them.
Skip, he has been great, Jamal Murray. And you notice I haven't said anything about Donovan Mitchell, because Donovan Mitchell has been special. And so is Murray, but you're going to react to 2 games from Murray or a few games from Jamal Murray when you wouldn't give Dame any props, but when he averaged 51-9 over the last 3 games of the bubble.
Chris, I saw Jamal do it against my Spurs last year in Game 7. He just took over the fourth quarter and made the shot of shots to win
the
game.
Your Spurs were terrible.
Okay, but so are the Portland Trailblazers, who are dangerously dependent upon 2 3-point shooters. That's what you got.
That's their offense.
Okay, that's it.
That's their offense, though.
Okay. Show me. Take it over. Just shoot up a storm. Shoot the lights
Dame
out one night.
He's overmatched in this series.
Overmatched? I thought he was a superstar.
Chris, I just want to know one thing. I just want to know the two players that Jamal Murray is facing on the Nuggets and Donovan Mitchell is facing on Jamal Murray is facing on Utah, and vice versa. Mitchell facing on the Nuggets. That's better than AD and LeBron. Which two players?
Okay, but they're just going head-to-head, just shooting the lights out every night. If you sit back and watch it, you say, why didn't Damian Lillard ever do that?
I've seen him
do
it.
I'm just saying.
No, I'm not saying that. That thought never crossed my mind.
Well, it crossed mine the last 2 nights that I watched them all the way home.
I watched them for you.
Look, Murray is good. I like him, but you've just gone out of bounds to say
I'm in bounds. I'm saying show me. Show me something. Chris, again, how can you defend 31% from the floor in 3 fourth quarters against the Lakers? That's pathetic.
Skip, if there's more
I thought
to the
that's
game
not
than
superstar.
Quarter. Hold on, there's more
superstar.
To the game. Skip, there's more to the game than just the fourth quarter. Had he not been so spectacular, they're blown out in the beginning to begin with. If LeBron James and AD don't shoot as bad as they did from the free throw line, the Lakers as a team, this is a 20-point game.
They are not only the worst defensive team in the bubble, they might be the worst defensive team in all of basketball.
Yes.
They are terrible. The Lakers should score 140 a game. And what was the score of the first game? They scored, 93?
93.
What?
Skip. Because they don't really shoot the three ball from the outside well. You're absolutely right. And what the Blazers try to do, they try to outscore you. Their defense is their offense. We won a game in the 130s and 140s, and we feel with our backcourt, with a little help from Melo, we're going to be okay. But Nurkic hasn't given them that 20-20 ball game. Whiteside, outside of the first game, hasn't been as effective as he was in the first ball game. So you're asking, basically, Dame and CJ needs to somehow get to 70 in order for them to win this series.
And LeBron, as you pointed out, had the audacity late in this game, seconds left.
No.
He makes another three because he's got a rare hot hand from three. If we could see this, he makes the three, and he has the audacity to backpedal up the floor and mean mug the Portland Trailblazers.
Hit it with
take it. That, Trailblazers. I got
mode.
You.
That in playoff mode.
That, like, look at this. That put the Lakers up 14 on the sorry Trailblazers. And LeBron's it's a mean mug. Save it at least for the next round in a real team.
We got
please.
Plenty of that.
Please.
We got plenty of that.
God.
What we saving it for?
Stop
hey, Chris,
it.
Chris, that's like Lord Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos, you need to save some of that money. He's like, I got plenty of money. What I'm saving it for? Right. LeBron said, I got plenty of these jumpers. I'm plenty of these threes. What I'm saving them for? I got
save them for the Rockets.
Not because I'm enjoying this. I am breaking it up right now.
No mercy.
Yesterday, during warm-ups for Game 4, Clippers forward Montrezl Harrell apologized to Luka Doncic after cameras caught Harrell calling Luka a, quote, bleep, bleep, white boy in Game 3. Luka told reporters, quote, sometimes you say things you don't want to say. He apologized. I respect that, so no problems. Chris, I'd like to start with you. Should Montrezl have been fined or suspended here?
I think he should have been fined. I don't think he should have been suspended, but I definitely think he should have been fined. I didn't like what he said at all. I'm glad he apologized to Luka. He understood that what he did was wrong, and that's why I think it shows it also deserved a fine. And I'm glad that if you saw the interaction, it was more than a, hey, man, I'm sorry, my bad. Or, you know, like, he it looked like he really came from the heart and made sure Luka understood, I don't dislike you because you're white. I didn't mean anything by it, whatever the case. Let me try to unpack this. We in our society, because of the racial history of our country and the power dynamics of our country, we allow blacks and even whites to say things about white people that we would not allow in the reverse. We wouldn't allow whites to say about blacks. You know, for instance, the movie White Men Can't Jump. We would never have a movie because like Black Men Can't Skate or Black Men Can't Pitch or anything like that. If you look at black comedians, almost every black comedian I've ever seen has a routine where they talk about white people and the way white people talk, the way they walk, the way they dance, whatever it may be. We would not allow a black comedian, or I'm sorry, a white comedian to do that about black people. Even when on Friday, I was watching a guy's show when Michael Rapaport, who obviously is white, was on the show, and he called Alex Caruso a pizza delivery guy, right? And it was funny. I was laughing just like everybody else. It was hilarious. But let's be honest. There was a racial undertone to that because Alex is white, and he's balding, and, you know, he doesn't look like your average black basketball player. And we wouldn't allow that to be said about a black player. I'm saying this because it's almost like we have this unwritten rule that we allow it because, look, it is what it is. There's an understanding that black people do not have the power to act on any prejudice they may have on the grand scheme. White people have acted on the power on their prejudice, and it was terrible and still happens today, and they still have the power to do it today. That's why there's kind of this double standard. So I said all of that to say that what Montrezl said was wrong, but it would have been worse had a white player called a black player the N-word, or even maybe said black boy or something like that. So I'm just trying to give context because I think it's important. While Montrezl, what he said was wrong, it wasn't as bad as had a white player said it because of the context of this country. A white player would have been suspended. It would have been a huge story. As a black player, I think Montrezl should have just got fined. Two things. One, it took away the credibility or some credibility from the Black Lives Matter protests that the league is all in on. There are already people saying that they lack credibility because no one spoke out against China. Everybody, Greg Popovich, LeBron James, Steve Kerr, all the strongest voices about race went soft and quiet when it came to China. So that's already taken away some of the credibility. But this, when this happens, it takes away a little more or gives those that want to dismiss or be upset with the Black Lives Matter protest, it gives them ammunition to say, oh, it's not legitimate or whatever. Secondly, there are a lot of white players. All the white players are wearing Black Lives Matter shirts. They're wearing, you know, some of them, like Kyle Korver, Black Lives Matter on the back of his jersey. Most of them are kneeling. We saw Myles Leonard stand for the national anthem. But these guys are supporting this movement, as they should. But you wonder, how does it make them feel when they hear Montrez come out like this? Now, I know they've been called white boy maybe every week since they've been in the NBA. But it's mostly in lighthearted ways of, you know, oh, the white boy, you want a ball? Or, oh, you can jump for a white boy, like lighthearted stuff. Right. When Montrez said it, it was mean-spirited. And that's why I think it deserved a fine, and he was right to apologize. But I don't think it would have deserved a suspension that a white guy would have got for using, say, the N-word.
Skip, if I'm not mistaken, you remember World War III like to happen. You remember when Dennis Rodman said, if Larry Bird was black, he'd just be a guy?
Mm-hmm.
And Isaiah Thomas co-signed it and chuckled.
Mm-hmm.
They, Isaiah Thomas, during the NBA Finals, had to go up on a press conference and sit next to Larry Bird.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they made him do.
Okay.
They suspended Draymond for calling Kevin Durant a B-word on his own team.
They did.
They
remember, Draymond also went up the court and kicked him in the groin.
No, I'm saying no. He KD.
Oh, KD. Remember, I thought you meant Draymond, LeBron.
Golden State.
But you remember mm-hmm. some derogatory terms that players have made in the past about homophobic slurs about the gay community.
Mm-hmm.
They've been fined. Rondo was suspended the game because what he said to Bill Kennedy, who was an official. Skip, I don't want to make too much of a deal about this, but I'm just saying we need to be careful saying that someone said something in the heat of the battle and excusing it. That's all I'm saying. I don't believe Trez is racist. I do not believe that. I believe he said something in the heat of the moment. He was wrong. Give him a fine. The NBA says this is not what we're about. The NBA is all-encompassing. White boys, Asians, whomever, we're all-encompassing. That's all I'm saying. I don't want to get too deep into it, this and that, but I believe Trez should have been fined because he said what he said was wrong. Maybe not so much the white boy, but then he prefaced it by saying to be a white boy.
Mm-hmm.
White man, boy, you whooping for a white boy. We've all said it had to see a white guy at the court.
Absolutely.
White boy, you dude got up, dude can run. Man, Christian McCaffrey can run for a white boy. But when you talk about, oh, soft and beaten, nah, he wrong and he should have been fined.
Okay, I'm going to speak as a white boy. I am not at all offended by being called a white boy. I've been called it in the sports context many times, all the way up the ladder, baseball, basketball, but it's always in the context, as you just pointed out. White boy can hit. It's okay. It's fine. It's a racial identification. It's not a racist slur.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there is no equivalent in our language of the N-word that a black player could use or a black person could use against a white person. Mm-hmm. There's no reverse word that's nearly as evil as that word. So
the George Jefferson word that used to refer to Tom, he called him the H-word and something like that. But that's not even close.
Not even close. And if we reverse the scenario and you say that a white player would refer to a black player as black boy, I got a huge problem because it's from the slavery days of slave master referring to male slaves as boy.
Yeah.
It's absolutely out of bounds.
You're probably going to get swung on,
too. You're going to get swung on. It cannot happen. But white boy in popular culture, we just had a movie come out, White Boy Rick, and I can go back to my days of classic rock and roll. Foreigner had a song back in the late 70s called Dirty White Boy, which was actually an ode to Elvis Presley leading to Mick Jagger. Dirty White Boy. You can do that one.
Remember that.
So again, what I would have been offended by, and I'm going to say it one time just so everybody gets the impact of this, mm-hmm. bitch-ass white boy, you got a problem. Then maybe I'm going to swing on you if you're going to call me that. But what was the context for that? The truth was, Luka actually started the row here because Luka tripped up Montrez, and as Montrez fell, Luka looked over his shoulder and said, quit flopping. and he said something may be manned. Doc said that he swore at Montrez. What do we know about Montrez Harrell? He is a beast on the basketball floor. What does he pride himself most on? His manhood, right. His emotion. He plays as hard as anybody plays the game. Well, if you're going to accuse that guy of flopping and you're going to throw in any profanity to exaggerate it, like quit effing flopping right. or quit flopping MF, you're going to have a big problem with Montrez because you are questioning his manhood. I love Luka because he's turned into one of the best trash talkers in the game,
right.
a la Larry Bird. That's the only Bird comparison I will give either of you because he is not afraid of the black stars. He'll trash talk with anybody, black or white. So he gave him a little trash talk, and then Montrez came and just crashed it in on him and scored on him and went up the court saying, basically, take that, B.A., white boy.
Right.
Okay? He's over-emotional. He plays that way. I don't have a huge problem with it. If you guys, if you want to say the NBA should have at least issued a statement in these very sensitive racial times,
right.
you got me. But again, as a white boy, I'm not offended enough by that to say, oh, fine him or suspend him. I'm good with it.
Skip, Dennis Rodman was tough, but yep. he flopped a bunch.
Okay.
It's simple. I mean, two things can be true. They don't have to be so exclusive. They're not to go hand in hand. Dennis Rodman was tough, but Dennis Rodman flopped a lot. And so I'm starting to see your guy Kawhi flop a lot. Mm-hmm. Every time somebody
LeBron flops. A lot of dudes flop.
Luka was known as soft coming into this league.
Yes.
Go after him physically, rough him up, knock him out of his game psychologically. And by the way, he whines to the refs almost every play. So Montrez just got his fill of it and said, take that, B.A. white boy. So I get it, and I don't have a huge problem. I don't have a fine or suspension problem with this.
Well, I just think in the context that we're in, and as Shannon said, I mean, you guys, anybody that grew up in sports with blacks and whites playing, as you said, white boy is used all the time, all right? But it's not used necessarily in that mean-spirited context that Montrez did, and with what the NBA has going on with the Black Lives Matter protests. If you don't deal with what Montrez did, it makes it look almost like you just think you want to do what's right for blacks, but you're not concerned about doing right for other people. And that's where people can use it. People that are against the movement will use it to say, oh, it's not justified. It's
that's
you
fair.
Know? So I think it should have been a fine, but not too big of a deal.
Well, Chris Broussard, always a pleasure to have you on Undisputed. Great stuff today.
No mercy.